Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey Station.
Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Great choice this morning from the Laird Man. For those who are hoping that Mac Jones is your starter week one, Wiggy says, hot Wiggy take, there is one thing that he cannot do, which ensures that he will not be your starter week one.
And that's, he doesn't have the ability to improvise. And as a young quarterback in this league, you're going to need that. We saw it last year with Justin Herbert, right? Because young quarterbacks, They haven't learned enough of the game to understand, let me go through my first progression, second progression, third progression, and then, you know, whether check down or fourth progression. Young quarterbacks go, okay, first guy, second guy, now get out of there. And Mac Jones doesn't have that ability. So what's that mean for a guy like Cam Newton? We saw this last year in some games where Cam was able to make third and sixes, third and eights, a third and nine because of his ability to still be a good enough athlete to where things broke down around him, get out of the pocket, use your legs, pick up the first down, keep the drive going. That's the difference when it comes to Cam Newton versus Mac Jones and what you're going to see with this team, because I think you're going to simplify what you do on offense for Mac Jones and you're going to simplify it for Cam Newton. But Cam gives you that extra element that Mac doesn't, and that's why you won't see Mac playing, because he don't have that in his arsenal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so he's going to have to learn to use his brain to play the game, and that takes a lot longer for young quarterbacks.
Two concerns here, Greg. You can see this playing out already. Volan reported, at least to us, off the air, and then Curtis brought it on the air, that Cam was not the best with Stiddy last year. You think he's going to be friendly to Mac Jones with all the money at stake in his contract? Those two are going to be at odds, I think, from the really minicamp.
Well, first of all, again, back to Volan, Chief Corona Bro.
Yep.
He didn't report it. He whispered it to you two.
He threw some sources. So, yeah, he had
and
some
nobody,
sources.
Nobody else reported it. So I have not heard a single person say that Cam Newton was anything less than a good guy and a leader in that locker room.
No, I think he is a leader in the locker room. But in terms of helping out the young quarterbacks in particular, I just don't see him being.
Why would he? Brady didn't help out the young quarterbacks.
Well, right. Exactly.
That's so, just what you're not going to help a guy who's trying to take your job. You'll be friendly with him. You know, you might throw him a little bone here and there. But what do you think Cam's going to do? Is go, hey, you know, Mac, after practice. You come sit with me. I'm going to go over this playbook
with
you.
That's what I've done with Spaz. I'm taking him under my wing, quite frankly.
You're just trying to replace me, Ken. It's okay.
Curtis, right.
Curtis hates Spaz. I mean, it's well documented.
And Stiz.
I don't hate Stiz.
You shouted at him on day one when he came in the building. Remember that whole drama?
No, remember that? Wow. This was during the pandemic.
I shouted at
you guys. You were yelling at each other in the hallway.
They had
like
to go
idiots.
Outside to have a fight.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was early on. But then they became brothers. Okay. Look at them. They're fine now.
They're,
you and Stiz Grammy are brothers.
I love Stin. Can you run a board? Let's get him in here.
Stiz is scrappy, though. He's from Chelsea, so be careful, Curtis.
I have no issue with him.
He's 70 pounds soaking wet. I don't think he's a threat to anybody.
So you're scrappy, though.
But also, to your point, Greg, the locker room loves Cam. So if there's a controversy or if he pulls Cam, that could be a problem with the rest of the team. I don't think Belichick wants any part of that. Cam is the guy the whole year. Forget about this week one stuff.
Yeah.
We got a poll up, right, Curtis?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Is Ken a massive pain in the ass? Yes or yes?
You just said you love me.
Well, it's fluid. How long does Cam last as the Patriots starting quarterback this season? 4 weeks, 8 weeks, entire season, or Max starts week one? The leader right now, 4 weeks.
I just cannot see Bill Belichick starting Mac Jones week one.
No.
Unless he is, you know, some kind of supernatural, you know, wonder of nature in training camp. I cannot imagine that he is the starter.
And that's going to be hard to do because he's going to get limited reps. I mean, that's going to be the thing. He'll get a few reps in training camp, but if Bill's are, we already know that it's not like he's coming into training camp and Bill goes, I don't know who's going to start. Everybody's going to get a fair shake. We know that it's Cam's job, so that means Cam's going to get the majority of reps. I told you, the person that I think is on the outside looking in is Stidham, because if you're Bill, you don't want you've already got enough pressure on Mac Jones for him being the first overall pick for your team. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to add more pressure to the guy having to fight with Stidham. Just make him the backup and say, this is what you're gonna prepare, and Cam's gonna be the guy, and now he has no issues. What am I, the second string? Am I third string? Am I bouncing back and forth?
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess the issue will be at some point, is there a quarterback controversy here in New England next season? But we got to get to this right
now. It's time for...
My palms are like Lake Ohio.
The dumbest of the day.
You know, whether it's Boston, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, you can list off the markets.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Curtis, we listened to everything that happened yesterday, and we were able to determine that this was the dumbest of the day. And believe it or not, it's something that is going on TikTok, shockingly.
I apologize if you're eating breakfast, because this is just disgusting. So there's a new hot trend on the social medias regarding eating rotten meat to get high.
Well,
the trend is called high meat, and people say that eating old, decomposed, discolored meat with mold and bacteria growing on
really?
It makes them feel euphoric.
Yeah, well, they get high.
You're high, all right. Getting sick is what you're getting.
Have you seen how expensive edibles are these days? I mean, I guess if you have some rotten roast beef lying around in the back of the fridge, you can eat it. And you sound like Wiggy did on 420 on this show. Do we have any audio on this TikTok trend?
Yes, we have a guy eating some nasty 1 year old rotten meat.
Ugh. My high meat is 1 year old now. It's the oldest meat I've ever seen. It's gotten pretty dry now. Smells like acidic mushrooms.
I'm gonna eat
it all at once. There's too much. I can't even get it all in. Right. Oh, very strong. Not bad. like eating chili. It doesn't taste bad, but it's so spicy that you feel it here that it's hard to swallow.
Wow. Who is that guy? This sounds like the guy who played Count Dracula in the movies in the 1940s.
That is Nick Stevens.
Are you kidding me? So you're willing to put rotten meat in your body to get high?
Hell no.
What is wrong with this country?
People are crazy. People are absolutely crazy.
Don't
give them
the
a camera, they'll do anything. Give them poops. Listen, you got to worry about dying.
I mean, it's disgusting.
Eating rotten meat.
That is disgusting. Mm.
No, that's why we got that's why we got microwaves and ovens and stoves. All we don't need to do that no more. This is not the 1500s.
Unrelated note: the Wiggy challenge coming up at 8:30 with the microwave food.
Yes. By the way, I want this guy to be our show's voice guy. I think he's awesome.
Yes, he's
I was captivated.
Oh,
I'm gonna eat it all at once. There's too much. I can't even get it all in.
Okay.
Where does he go to get his rotten meat, or does he just make it himself in his own fridge? Is that how he does it?
But that's, I mean, rotten meat smells awful.
Mm. The guy buys a ribeye and then he has to wait a year to eat it. It seems like an awful lot of work to get high.
That's a long delay to get high. It's like
that's unbelievable.
That's disgusting.
I mean, any guidance from the CDC on this, Ken? On whether or not it's okay to eat raw meat?
They give it to Biden. They have no idea the difference.
All right.
It's like Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, he does.
Don't you eat that hard meat.
Yeah, he does sound like Bela Lugosi. All right. That is the dumbest of the day. And here is the lifeguard with what is trending this morning.
The best off-season Patriots coverage can be found here. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
And it's brought to you by the Subaru of New England Go Green event. That's going on right now. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Well, a lot of people would say the dumbest of the day, your National Hockey League Department of Player Safety. No suspension for Tom Wilson for that.
Ridiculous.
Multi-incident affair Monday night.
I agree with those who say that when something like this happens, mm-hmm. the player who is the aggressor ought to be out for as long as the player who is injured. So
yeah, but isn't this what the league is? So isn't it on the players? No, no. If you look at the scrum... Go back and look at the scrum, right?
I've watched it 50 times.
Okay, so the first part when he's on his stick, that's like you see that happen in the league all the time. The second part, guys get thrown down all the time. The only thing I would say, we saw Marchand throw down a player a couple weeks ago.
I hate this argument. Like,
the only difference is the guy didn't have his helmet
this
on.
This is, you love the player when it's Marsh, but you don't like the player when it's Tom Wilson. No, I hate that argument.
I don't have any.
The guy is a serial offender.
Remove the name on the back of the jersey. That's what we see in scrums all across hockey. It's like in the NBA, right? One of my leads was going to be how sick I am of watching the NBA and the way they flop, the way Marcus Smart is all over the place, like people are shooting guys out there, and people are complaining in the NBA about foul calls. But you allow this as a player to happen. Guys are kicking their legs out.
Okay, so why'd they fine him $5,000 then?
Well, because I think a lot of it has to do with probably his previous history.
A lot of it has to do with George Parros being a goon himself and having no issue with this in the game. That's what a lot of it has to do with.
I mean, I thought they would just suspend him for the rest of the regular season, and even that's bad enough. But no suspension? That is stunning.
Yeah.
Rangers issuing a suspension. Calling it shocking and that Parros unfit to continue in his current role, but they play tonight. Meanwhile, the Bruins, who might play the Capitals next week, lost third period leads of 2-1 and 3-2. They did get a point, but go down in overtime to the Devils' Pavel Zacha, the game winner, over Yaro Halak, which was an interesting choice in net, Greg, ahead of Swayman. So will it be Yaro as your number two?
I don't think so. I just think they're trying to get, before the season ends, they're trying to get him a little bit of action. I think your one is Tuukka and your two is Swayman.
But I'm with
why
Ken,
play Yaro, though?
I'm with Ken on that one. Why not just keep giving Swayman plenty of time in the nets just in case you got to go to him?
Yeah. Well,
you have an embarrassment of riches at the position. Wouldn't you agree? I mean,
Unless they're worried about Tuukka.
Maybe.
Do they know something about the back that we don't?
Maybe.
That is the whole postseason right there. Tuukka's health. And how they handle it. But they'll be in action four more times. Next three at the Garden, Rangers Thursday and Saturday, the Islanders Monday, and then the finale in Washington next week. Celtics back in action tonight. Jaylen Brown will not be there against Charlotte, but it's not that severe, at least we don't think. He's day-to-day, but it is a sprained ankle as they hit the home stretch here. Red Sox jumped out on Detroit, four runs in the first, 14-hit attack, four homers. Pivetta gets the win, not his best start, but he does go to 4-0, 3.23 ERA now on the season. And game two of the series tonight, 7:10 first pitch across the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network.
On the show tomorrow, Sean Corrali of the Boston Bruins at 9, talking playoffs and goaltenders and Tom Wilson. And also on the show tomorrow, The rotten meat challenge with Spaz. So we'll do that at some point tomorrow morning. We'll be right back.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Curtis, you got your Cinco de Mayo request from the Laird man.
Laird colon coming through.
I hope you're happy.
Great movie.
La Bamba?
Yeah.
The original?
Yeah. With Lou Diamond Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
They haven't tried to remake that, have they? Anybody, speaking of entertainment, anybody get me my odds on who the murderer is on Mayor of Easttown yet? Or are we going to let Shime do that?
Shime's coming in early today.
Yeah. Okay. He's the guy you want.
All right. I have a new outlier when it comes to potential suspects. You want me to talk about it, or is it a spoiler?
No, go for it.
It is the soon to be new wife of a certain character on the program. Is my new potential. Although I will say, there's something sneaky going on in the church area of the program. I don't think it's the guy that you think it is, but I wonder about the other guy who's in the church area.
Cousin.
If you know what I'm
saying. Sounds like an undoing.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? The Undoing was great television, as is Mayor of Easttown on HBO. Great television.
The Undoing was a very, very good show, but because it was only a one and done, I think that it becomes lazy and
Wiggy, do you like movies?
No, I do, but that
he
movie
has this ridiculous
the movie
take.
Is different he than has, a series.
Like a series is more in depth than a movie.
He has this ridiculous take that a one-off season of a series cannot be good.
No, it can't.
But how can you like a movie then? It's much less in depth than a series of shows.
I know, but a movie's different, though.
I know.
A movie is, I'm there for 2.5 hours. I'm not having to wait week to week. They tie everything together for me within that 2 hours, 2.5 hours to finish up this movie. A series that is a one-shot series, I feel like I try to get into it with The Undoing, and I thought the series was good, but then I'm like, really? So he's the killer? I went through 10 weeks of this.
Spoiler, jeez.
Well, maybe it was just a bad series. Like True Detective, that first season with McConaughey was great. That's a one season.
Yes, that may be arguably the best one season show in the history of television.
Yeah, and that left me fulfilled. So
it got bad after that.
Yeah,
but that first season was extraordinary.
Will anybody other than Wiggy disagree with me that a series is far more in depth than a movie?
No.
Okay,
no.
So you get a lot more out of the characters. There's more development. They're allowed to be different angles within. They can even give you sort of fake turns where you don't know why something happened.
That's why. Remember when we saw Curtis the first episode of Mayor of Easttown? We were like, it starts so slow. It's kind of annoying.
Right.
You have to build that character development, and all that stuff about her is super important. Like the stuff about the son, what happened to her son, and all that stuff.
Right, but a series is meant to be able to, where a movie, they have to wrap it up. Like, so if you saw the movie, The Little Things, I think it was like with Denzel Washington, and then there was a movie called Prisoners with Hugh Jackman.
Well, let's talk about my favorite movie, Biodome. I think Pauly Shore does a great job.
I'm trying to.
Underappreciated talent.
Totally underappreciated.
But there's a movie.
Jury Duty, great flick.
There's a movie with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. I think it's called Prisoner.
The Notebook.
So, no, it's not The Notebook, and it's not X-Men. And it's kind of similar to where the kid goes missing and you're trying to figure out. But in a movie, you might not get so deep into character development and going into backstories like you can in a series. And I just feel like with series, when you do a one and done, you leave so much on the table where people, for me at least, I'm like, man, I wasted 10 episodes and that's it. That's how I felt about The Undoing.
I never thought about this. Texter says the killer is the Bela Lugosi guy who eats rotten meat.
Oh, great call.
That would be Dracula.
Well, very strong. Not bad. like eating chili.
That was his reaction to hearing Wiggy's take on movies versus series.
I'm telling you, man.
Speaking of eating rotten meat, coming up at 8:20 this morning, the next Wiggy Blind Food Taste Test Challenge for Cinco de Mayo, and it involves Mexican frozen food entrees, of which there are six, and we will see if he can identify.
Got to heat them up properly. Got to make sure you get the proper heat.
What, was that a problem last time?
Well, I think it was.
One of them was too hot, I remember. That's on Sniz. That's Sniz's big job today.
You got to make sure you heat them up with enough time for them to cool off, so then you can, you know, the texture's good through because it's a microwave meal.
Does Sniz have a FACACTA title like Chaim Bloom, where he's the chief microwave officer here at Odyssey?
He's the CMO.
It's the chief microwave officer.
We've already devised a plan, so we're going to divide and conquer. He's going upstairs where there's another mic, and I'm going to be down here. So we've got two microwaves going at the same time.
We're spazzing all this.
Wiggy just doesn't like watching anything, movie or television, that actually makes him think.
No,
Mayor of Easttown.
No, I
That's
told you,
problem.
I watched Undo.
He wants a superhero to come in a costume and save the world.
Listen,
where's Godzilla?
No, I watch Power. I watch
okay,
Snowfall,
we know you watch, I know.
Queen of the South.
Yeah.
I told you, I watched the show with Idris Elba called Luther.
You love Shaw of Sunset, right?
I never got into that one. But there are plenty of shows that I watch. Unlike you, I like mine to have a little bit more juice and action into it.
Yeah.
Right, juice and action means no thought.
No, it doesn't mean thought.
Like blowing up things, doesn't it?
Go watch Snowfall. It's the best show on television. It'll take your stupid Mayor of Easttown and turn it sideways and shove it right up our Snowfall's booty. Best show out there right now.
Okay.
And I watch City on a Hill.
That's an awful show.
Odds.
You think so?
I don't like it.
Here's a text that says, odds that Wiggy loses the roof of his mouth, 50 yeah. plus.
That's why I said it's
plus
about 50
heating. On that.
Heat him up early and then give him 5 minutes to cool off.
But there's some good food, though. There's some good frozen food entrees for Cinco de Mayo in this challenge.
Yes, I hope so.
I got the quality stuff.
Yeah. All right, good. Last time you got, like, Salisbury steak.
That's one of the best TV dinners in the history
pretty good.
Of TV dinners. this is Susan. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Greg. I just wanted to call in to say thank you so much for wearing my son's shirt today.
Oh, thank you for donating to the Greg Hill Foundation. I am happy to wear this shirt for your son, who is Mason Tessier. Am I saying that right?
Tessier.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's been racing since he was 11. Is that what the? I got a nice little note.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, really.
He's been racing at our local track at Seekonk Speedway since he was 11. He's 17 now.
Awesome.
How does he do that with no license? Is that like go-karts?
No. It's a lot bigger than go-karts. He actually just got his license last year, but no, it's competitive kart racing.
Well, but how does he race at 11, though? Like, I always wondered about NASCAR kids. You're 11 years old and you're driving.
The things that perplex you are interesting.
Yeah, it is. I think it's fascinating.
It's like a thing they do. It's
Susan, was he driving like a regular car at 11 and 12 years old?
No, not a regular car.
Okay.
They definitely had smaller engines. They were smaller cars, but they still ran on the same, you know, quarter mile track that we have here in town.
Okay.
But no, now he's definitely moved up to a bigger size car, which is called a Legend.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, very nice of you guys to do that. Thank you. And we got a little thing going on called Dress Greg, where you can donate to the foundation, and I will wear your shirt. Unless you are somebody who is a part of the Twitch chat, and then it's going to cost you a fortune.
Right.
Because these savages in Twitch are trying to come up with all kinds of ridiculous shirts for me to wear.
Mm. Oh, good.
So I'm going to charge a fortune for any of those Twitch chatters, if they want to force me to wear any of these shirts that they're talking
about.
Have
you ever driven a race car? They do it up in New Hampshire where you can, like, go up there and they'll let you drive.
I rode in one time in Daytona and I was terrified.
No, but you drive.
I don't.
Wait, no, you drive.
I would never do that.
That's on an empty track, I would do that.
That's terrifying.
So Sununua.
I don't like. When are we doing our event with Governor Sununu?
Oh, speaking of which, I got a text last night from Sununu's assistant. And he's got some good ideas, and we're going to try and circle back today to figure out a good plan.
Okay, excellent. So maybe we'll get him on. Why don't we get him on Friday to talk about breakfast with Sununu, whatever it's going to be.
Sounds good.
In my adopted home continent of New Hampshire, where you can live free or die. Hello, Jerome.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
What's happening, Jerome?
Listen, good luck trying to dress you up. And Wiggy, good morning.
What up, man?
Hey, listen, I got some bad news. I got a feeling you guys remember a shock. Wiggy, I think you won't be shocked, but Greg, you will. Remember 2 years ago when Garoppolo came in and Brady wasn't doing that hot? The best thing in the world you can have is competition. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, this guy Mac Jones is going to come in. He's going to be right up his butt. And Cam Newton, no COVID, no nothing. I'm picking good things for the Patriots. Definitely playoffs, maybe Super Bowl.
So you think Cam Newton gets better because of Mac Jones, because of the competition?
Exactly. What about Brady turned it on when Garoppolo got here? Mm. He just wasn't doing anything.
I agree with Jerome.
I wouldn't say he wasn't doing anything.
Well, no, I agree with Jerome on Cam and Mac because Cam knows first-round draft pick, if he doesn't perform the way he should, that Bill's leash is probably a lot shorter than it was when Stidham was the backup.
Cam's our quarterback.
I believe that. So I think maybe that's definitely added juice to Cam Newton. He obviously knows he's got to look himself in the mirror.
But doesn't he know that, I mean, Cam Newton is one and done with this last chance. Don't you think? I mean, isn't that enough motivation for him?
No. Here's where he looks at it. He knows. And when you say one and done, I think this is his last year. I would agree with you that this is the year for him to show everybody, A, I can play a few more years in this league as a starter, or B, this is it, I'm done.
Yeah, it's arena football. If he looks like he did last season.
That's it.
It's, yeah.
That's it.
Is the CFL even in existence any longer, or did they ban that in Canada where people can't go outside of their homes, Ken?
Yeah, it's probably shut down.
No, they're still having it. They're still playing it. 14 games this year.
Yeah, I mean, but it's interesting to me that you say there's virtually no chance, unless Cam is absolutely atrocious.
Which I don't believe.
There's no chance. That Mac Jones is your guy. Because of his early inability to improvise.
Right.
The only chance is if the owner gets involved, which he already has to some extent, as we discussed yesterday.
We're going to go down this road. So now the owner is going to make on-field decisions.
I don't think
Belichick.
So, but who knows? Now the bar is set somewhere in the middle.
I think we all know that Robert Kraft is not going to tell Bill who's his starting quarterback.
And I think Bill looks at it where Stidham wasn't able to push Cam Newton for that starting job, right? And they were 2-5, and I talked about this the other day. They were 2-5 through the first 7 weeks of the season, and Bill didn't even bat an eye when asked about Stidham getting in there because, you know, I used to listen to OMF in that interview all the time, and Bill was like, nope, Cam's gives us the best chance to win, even though this team was like, wow, offensively, they weren't doing anything. So now you have a better team. You have more weapons. Cam can only go up. When you're on the bottom floor, there's nowhere to go but up. So he's going to be better, and then that's going to lead to wins. This team's not going to start off 0-4. They're going to start off where they're right in the mix, and they're constantly in that playoff hunt. That's why I don't think you'll see the young kid.
Can I play one little bit of Kraft again from that two-minute video, which I think was staged? But anyway, this is how Kraft feels about Mac Jones. He was allegedly talking to Mac on the telephone.
Anyhow, we're excited to have you. All of New England is really happy with this pick.
All of New England is really happy with this pick.
Yeah, you can hear it in his voice.
But if Cam struggles and Foxborough starts booing, then Kraft is like, oh, man, why aren't we playing Mac?
Why is that surprising to you?
To say all of New England is happy?
Yes, all of New England is happy.
First of all, how does he know? Did he take a poll?
They took a quarterback in the first round. Of course all of New England would be happy about that. It doesn't mean that they think the kid can be the starter on week one.
Well, Wiggy wanted Justin Fields, so he wasn't happy.
Now, but see, that's a different story, because I think if Justin Fields is the quarterback and it's Cam Newton and Justin Fields, I think there's a different conversation there, because the people are going to push for Justin Fields because of all the other things that he can do, the fact that he can improvise, and they go, listen, Bill.
It's the opposite. They're going to push for Mac because he's more ready. He's more pro ready, and he's more system ready.
I think Cam got lucky in the sense that he's lucky they drafted Mac Jones and not Justin Fields, because I think a lot more people, when you put up that poll, I think a lot more people would have been in the camp of Justin Fields playing right away than they would Mac Jones.
Oh, you hear from a lot of people who believe that Cam Newton is going to be much better this season.
He is.
There's a lot of people who feel the same way you do about
that. Do you
that.
Believe that?
I don't know, because I don't know enough. Listen, you played the game.
Right, but just off what you see, he had no talent.
He has to be better.
Right.
He really had no talent around him.
Right.
At least to throw the ball to.
Right. You're a dog.
He obviously is a guy who struggles with, needs more time to learn the terminology.
Right.
And the system. He has that now.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, when it comes to his mechanics, is that something you can fix in a long off season?
Well, I don't think you can. I think you can kind of clean it up a little bit. And I think Lou might have said this on OMF. It might have been Lou, or maybe you said it, Curtis. The bar is set so low for Cam that he can only go up. See, that's the thing, you know, right? A lot of people look at last year and go, he played so poorly last year that based on just the additions of the guys that they put around him, and even if they didn't add talent, that much talent around them, just being in the system for another year, he can only go up.
And by the way, Ken, what is Robert Kraft supposed to say? Like, three towns in Massachusetts are happy that you're here. Well, Littleton, Holden, and Swansea.
You don't have to lie to the kid and say the whole region is happy you're here. I mean, I'm just making that up.
I'm going to be raw meat.
We're excited to have you. All of New England is really happy with this.
Who knows?
First of all, Ken, you live here. You work in this field. The reaction was overwhelmingly positive that they drafted Mac Jones.
I would say it was split. Some wanted Jimmy G, some wanted Justin Fields.
Oh, come on, okay. Ken.
I'm just going to keep trucking.
Wiggy was... Did you remember how Wiggy sounded the morning after the draft?
Right, but I was...
Downtrodden.
But I was... Because
they
bought
a Bears
jersey.
No,
because they didn't take my guy.
Right.
But I was happy that they took a quarterback, and I do agree with Curtis. The overwhelming support of them drafting a quarterback is what I think that you're talking about, Curtis, right?
Yeah, everybody was happy. I mean, I didn't... Even if they preferred... like you, Fields, or they prefer Jimmy G, I think Patriots fans were just thrilled that they have a quarterback of the future to support.
And I mean, if you add weapons and you have the sixth easiest schedule in the NFL and Cam Newton has additional time to prepare,
right,
you have to get better.
But my one...
you have
Newton!
To.
But my one issue with that, Greg, is that he got worse as the season went on last year.
It was the COVID fog.
Oh, okay.
It was the long COVID.
Okay. Because he had more practice and he got worse.
Coming up, we will get to the news and an incident of tomato thickness rage has led to fast food violence in Florida, not like the rest of us. So we'll get to that coming up next.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time for the news.
With respect to that particular snarky comment.
Without Danielle.
The gal who does, who works on the air with, on EEI with, did I just space on his name?
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Nobody can let me just exit gracefully. Nobody.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Danielle, thank you.
You're welcome.
Coming up after 8, science has determined it is no longer the size of the feet that you would look at, ladies.
Okay.
That when it comes to determining whether a man is well endowed or not, it is something else. One thing.
I can't wait to
see
what this is.
That you can look at to make that determination. At Northeast Men's Health, they are now offering sound wave therapy and other ED treatments with success rates as high as 90%. Learn more at northeastmenshealth.com. And happy Cinco de Mayo. 8 8:20 or 8:30 or so this morning is when we will do the next Wiggy Blind Food Taste Test Challenge. We did this an awful lot when everybody was eating frozen food during the pandemic. And today it is Mexican frozen food entrees that Wiggy will try to identify by taste while he is blindfolded at 8:20 or 8:30.
And I got to have a Coke or Pepsi between every bite so the bites don't blend.
Oh.
Something I learned watching the Food Network.
Yes, a palate cleanser.
Yes, I like that. Palate cleanser.
One would call that an amuse bouche.
Really? I believe it is a amuse douche.
You made that up.
Yes, the individual who calls it that, you are correct, is a douche.
You made that up.
All right.
Don't say that about Nick.
President Biden spoke yesterday, Ken, and he would like 70% of adults in this country to have at least one COVID-19 shot by July 4th so we can get our freedom back.
Our goal by July 4th is to have 70% of adult Americans with at least one shot and 160 million Americans fully vaccinated. That means giving close to 100 million shots, some first shots, other second shots, over the next 60 days. Of course, Americans can still get shots after July 4th, but no one should wait. And let's try to hit that 70% mark, at least with one shot before that day.
All right. You think we're going to get there? 70%?
I think they're like forcing us to just do it. They should have mobile ones that just drive around and, you know, plant somewhere and you could just walk up to it and get vaccinated.
Well, they closed four of the vaccination sites here in Massachusetts. Is that because people just don't want to get the vaccine? Is that what's going on there? Why did they close them?
We've done pretty well. I think it's 65% in mass now, right?
Yeah.
At least one shot.
Well, if you want more information on vaccines, the president said yesterday you can go to vaccine.gum. That's where you would go to get it, Curtis, vaccine.gum.
We're going
to
make it easier than ever to get vaccinated. Visit vaccines.gum. Vaccines.gum.
Did he mean .gov?
I think he did, okay. Yeah. You know what he meant.
Well, I didn't know if he meant .com or .gov.
Give him some credit. Come on now, Greg. He's done a pretty good job with the vaccines.
Yeah.
Credit?
What has he done? I mean, what are you talking about?
You're talking about the vaccine that was ready and waiting for him to distribute? Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Next story.
Yes. All right. Well, they need the, like, bolder print. You know how old people switch their phones to that giant text? They need that on the teleprompter for the president. It's .gov.
I mean, my God.
It's .gov.
He repeated it when he corrected himself.
He's not
vaccines.gum.
No, he's not too familiar with the internet. That's the thing.
It's got the Obama phone.
A North Shore pizzeria owner was arrested yesterday for allegedly obtaining more than $660,000 in PPP loan funds and then using that money for personal expenses, including buying an alpaca farm in Vermont.
Jesus.
Money well spent.
This guy's name is Dana McIntyre, and he owned a place in Beverly, which was called the Rasta Pasta Pizzeria.
Oh, it's Jamaican style.
I don't know if it was Jamaican style, or I have no idea where he got the name from, but he is in big trouble. And this is a local resident in Beverly, Michael Kennedy.
Well, he is a character because he's laughing in your face. He's making $9 a piece of pizza. He's making $600,000 on the back end. Can't wait. Oh, so he's been doing this fraud for over a year. I text him, he's helping these people become rich. And it's all illegal. It's all fraud.
That's incredible. Call that a Brady.
I mean, if you own a pizza place and then suddenly you buy an alpaca farm, 100 acres, are people not suspicious who know you?
Yeah, didn't he buy a vintage Corvette, too?
Yes,
for like $110,000?
Yes. Grand? Yes, yes.
I'm looking at these reviews for Rasta Pasta in Beverly, and they had some campaign called a Happy Life Pizza that was a special pizza where he claimed the money was going to the local police department.
And it didn't?
They didn't like it, but there's no shot in hell that money went to the police department.
Oh, you're right about that.
When he said Rasta Pasta pizza, I'm like, oh, okay, is this like pizza laced with weed?
It's laced with rotten meat.
Oh.
So you get high when you eat it.
They have a place like that in New York that's really good. It's called Stoned. Their pizza's got, it's like got weed in it.
Well, no, it can't because it hasn't even become legal in New York.
No, I'm telling you, it's called Stone.
That was you and Criminal were, no. Like buying, you went in the back door to get
pizza, sodas, everything's got weed in it.
Stone, gourmet cannabis, pizzeria. Yeah. It's all there.
In New York City?
And they have Wiggy's face on the brochure.
It's in New York. I'm not sure if it's in New York City, but yeah, it's everything's laced with weed.
The headline is just think about it.
Think about it. Well, a 4-year-old goat that had been on the run for 2 weeks has been safely returned to his owner. The goat was named Spencer and escaped from the Lowell area on April 22nd. And the goat got all the way to Sudbury and has been captured and returned to his owner. And this is Lulu Feeney, who is the daughter of the owner of Spencer the goat.
Spencer has always been kind of more on his own, I'd say, than the other goats. They were born here, actually, so I guess he wanted to see a little more of the world.
Boston residents are fed up with the dirt bikes and the ATVs that are speeding through the city and through Franklin Park.
Oh, yeah.
Have you encountered this?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I like four wheels and dirt bikes.
They are concerned that they have absolutely no respect for the traffic laws of the
There's
Commonwealth.
No trails in the city. Where else are you supposed to ride a dirt bike?
Are they using the bike lanes? That would be a real issue for our former mayor if they were in the bike lanes. But Mike O'Malley, who's a city councilor, wants the city to look into installing gates and speed bumps at Franklin Park to stop this.
Might mean looking at certain aspects of the park that could be used for dirt bikes and lawful bikes, sort of a more removed area that we could cordon off and have certain hours of the day that it was allowed.
We're also going to install gates in front of every house in Southie so nobody has a party that is out of control, Curtis.
Yep. $3,000 a pop.
That's when you know we're getting closer to summertime, when you see the dirt bikes and four-wheelers out.
Well, they've been doing it throughout the whole pandemic.
Right, but the summertime's really come.
Yeah,
it's 48 today, Wiggs.
There are some questions over a New York sperm donor who has fathered 78 children.
Wow.
This guy's nickname is the Sperminator. Ari Nagel.
Antonio Cromartie.
At 44 years old, he has already fathered 78 children. He has an additional 13 on the way. And he says he has even helped many women conceive the old-fashioned way, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Ari.
A lot of the women are just in the U.S. Sometimes they're abroad. I went to Africa twice last month to try and meet women to help them conceive. The month before that, I was in Barbados and then Georgia, the country, not the state. Well, of the 13 women that are currently pregnant, I gave it to them all in a cup, and then they just put it in themselves. Yeah. Sometimes we end up using a clinic if they're older. Around a dozen of my children were conceived the old-fashioned way. I never charged any of the women for helping them grow their families. Of course, I do get paid with lots of hugs and kisses and a lifetime of appreciation.
So the guy's just basically horny.
Well, no, it seems like he's
willing to travel anywhere in the world to have a baby.
But he's doing a good deed, it seems like, in his mind.
Okay, but is there a waiver so that some of these women that he's traveled to fornicate with want money out of him later on in life?
But
he's bringing all of these kids into the world, 78 of them,
right,
with 13 coming. Is he providing for them at all?
Be careful how you word that. He's saying that, but it seems like most people go to a sperm bank, they want to get the money. But he's like, I'm not taking money for it. I'm just doing it for the hugs and the kisses. And I'm not even doing it. He's only out of the 70, whatever he said, only 12 the old-fashioned way. So he gets a cup and he's there to, like, you know what? Hey, I'm doing a good thing for the world.
Okay, but what about none of those kids have a father in their life? That doesn't matter at all?
Shouldn't you ask the mother why she wants a sperm donor? Does she not have a man?
I feel like some people who have dogs leave them at home all day and are unable to take care of them because they're just a single parent.
But there are women out there that maybe are not in relationships. They want to have kids, and you need guys to have.
And this guy's ready to go.
Seems like
moments,
he is.
Moment's notice. All right, let's get to this.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
Well, a 77-year-old woman in Florida who is named Judith Black and who resides at the Villages in Florida, Curtis.
All right.
Got upset last week over the thickness of the tomato slices on her Whopper at Burger King.
Seems logical.
So she started yelling at the staff. Unfortunately, she was yelling racial slurs. And then she threw her Whopper at them because of the thickness of the tomato slices.
Got to make a point.
Yeah. And she is facing a felony battery charge.
Well, have you ever had thick tomatoes?
Yes, it's a felony.
Have you ever had thick tomatoes on a burger? Not very good.
We don't know whether or not they were too thick or too thin. That's the thing.
Always go thin. Thinner is better.
What if you love tomato, though?
It's too thick, though. It's not. Tomato's not meant to be consumed that thick. It's supposed to be nice and thin.
Yeah, I mean, you should never throw your Whopper at anybody.
Well, if you're disappointed. I'm just trying to get your point across.
You're still not. I mean,
you eat it.
Is that where Larry is?
Yeah. I'm sure Larry rushed down to try to defend her and take this case on.
Larry the lawyer.
It's probably a class action lawsuit because of thick tomato slices.
Absolutely.
At the BK Lounge.
Busby will be all over it.
All right. That is today's news. We will be right back.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.